T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Brad Garrett, crime and terrorism analyst, is joining us this morning on the Trocare College WBEN Live Line. We're taking a closer look at the trial of former President Trump in New York City. Brad, the prosecution has been pushing to hold Trump in contempt for violating a gag order that bars him from attacking witnesses and jurors. The judge has not made a ruling yet, but there's a possibility of incarceration for the former president. From your perspective, what could that look like?
Well, it's really a complex picture. You'd have to look at it short term, long term. If he would place him in jail now, obviously that would be temporary as a violation of the gag order. In other words, hold him in contempt of court. The other is, and this is probably going to be years down the road, if in fact the president was convicted of some of these felonies in various jurisdictions, he could end up getting time. And that would be a long-term potential housing of him. I don't see him being placed in any sort of traditional jail or prison. You know, maybe a military brig, someplace the Secret Service can literally control everything that happens, from how the food's prepared to who has access to him. If you ask me to guess, Susan, I don't know that Mershon would lock him up at this point. Perhaps house arrest would be the next phase. And then if he violates that, then he might have to send him to jail temporarily. But it's a big problem for the Secret Service, you know, considering all of the things they have to do to protect him as a former president.
Because of that problem, it's probably very unlikely it would ever happen, right?
I don't know. And the reason I say I don't know is that he's not a normal defendant. I mean, he's a person that's well known, obviously, as being a disruptor. I mean, that's how he runs government. That's how he runs his life. My guess is that's how he runs his business. And it's all about attack and taking people on and saying that everyone's wrong and he's right. And so I think because of that, he's not going to stop, because he never has stopped. And will he push a judge so far? Because the judge's job is to keep the integrity of the system going. I mean, how can you have jurors that, you know, are being intimidated, or witnesses that can testify against him if they feel threatened or intimidated on some levels? I mean, it's a huge problem. I mean, that makes our system different than, you know, other countries. So I can see this turning in potentially to a crisis.
Does it seem as if the former president is kind of hoping for this, pushing for it?
It feels that way to me, from the standpoint that if he got temporarily locked up, I mean, he could then say he's the ultimate mega victim, a martyr, which, you know, probably would fire up his base. And so from that standpoint, I think that's a possibility as far as what he might be thinking.
You know, when it comes to this case, nothing is ordinary, but it's also kind of extraordinary how there are three separate cases going on across the country at the same time, and even the Supreme Court getting involved. How does that change just kind of how these courts operate, when it's almost like you're fighting over the defendant, trying to get his full attention?
Now, obviously, each one of these courts, despite the fact it's, except for the current one, that's a state charge, the others are all federal. But you know, these judges work in districts. However, they're going to have to accommodate one to the other only because you can't have him on trial in two different places. So that will work itself out, you know, because the lawyers will say, look, we got to be in court in Florida and you want us in court in Washington. The judges will work around that. But, it's going to become interesting because my guess would be that this current case, the state charges, will be the only one that gets completed before the election. My sense would be the rest of them will not, and they'll either go on while he is president or while he's the former president. But, you know, we don't know that yet.
But then if this contempt charge is, you know, if the judge does order incarceration for it, this would interrupt this current trial, wouldn't it?
No, it wouldn't. What it means is, just like any other prisoner, if this were a normal case and the judge, because just about anybody else would get locked up, to be quite honest, based on the things he said, that, you bring prisoners to and from court every day during trial or whatever. They're just taken back to a jail or a prison. And so the same thing would happen to him. Let's say he gets house arrest. Well, the Secret Service transport him anyway. So they'd transport him to court to and from his residence. So I don't see that as an issue.
You know, Brett, I do want to get your take before we let you go on some of these campus protests that have really turned violent across a lot of the country, especially at some of these major institutions. You know, we're seeing a day two of Harvard encampments going on. How do you deal with this as law enforcement? Because, you know, it's maybe easy for me to say, but I'm just sitting here and saying, you know, Harvard, isn't that the one place, you know, of all the schools you're supposed to be studying? Like, why don't we just clear all the kids out and put them back in a classroom?
Well, I think you have to look at it this way, that these things tend to get started before the school administration and their law enforcement, the city, county, and state law enforcement get involved. And so people get into place. They put up tents. They, you know, stay there semi-permanently. And so now you've got the problem of how do you disrupt that? Well, you do have to communicate with them, and you have to do it regularly and tell them, look, we'll give you another 2 hours, for example. And in those 2 hours, then we're going to come back and tell you, unless you leave, we're going to arrest you. And then we'll arrest you and we'll take down your tents. And you really have to be solid with that. The problem, obviously, is that some of these have gotten quite big. It would take a lot of officers. You can see how much something like this would drain law enforcement. But that's you have to be fair but firm, because nothing else is going to get it done, and you just can't let these things go on indefinitely because they'll get emboldened and get bigger. But it's a real dilemma, and it is not an easy thing to do. And that's why some of them turn into, you know, scuffles between the students and the police. And my guess is we'll probably see more of that.
Brett, thank you for joining us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.